Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
They are moving forward a bill to increase the transparency, to call on the USDA to hire a full-time input economist to work to be more transparent, to get more transparency out into the marketplace. And I'm proud to say that effective immediately, we are already searching for that input economist that will focus entirely with a team on the cost of input so we can continue this high-level partnership with the Hill to ensure we're doing everything that we can for our farmers and ranchers.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins at an event at USDA with members of the House and Senate and also other cabinet-level members trying to address the issue of fertilizer. Well, farmers still facing high fertilizer costs. Some analysts say the recent federal attention may not fully address the biggest near-term pressure points. Josh Linville is Vice President a fertilizer with StoneX. He says policy is now getting the attention it needs, but much of the focus is on ammonia, potash, and phosphate rather than urea. Linville says some announced production gains were already planned, while new ammonia capacity may not be aimed mainly at U.S. farm demand. Says urea remains one of the largest U.S. import needs and is more exposed to Russia, the Middle East, and other global suppliers. Nitrogen supplies made it through spring better than feared, but prices remain high. Linville says reopening the Strait of Hormuz could pressure urea prices in the short term if stalled vessels move, but tight supplies will keep values elevated into spring of next year. A labor dispute at Cargill's Fort Morgan, Colorado beef plant remains a market watch point because that facility is a major processor in a tight cattle supply environment. Lockout began May 20th after union-represented employees rejected the company's latest contract proposal. Teamsters Local 455 says more than 1,700 workers seeking better wages, health care, and safety protections. Cargill says its offer included bonuses, predictable wage increases, retirement provisions, and an estimated $33.4 million in employee investment over 5 years. Cargill says it initiated the lockout to avoid a sudden work stoppage during live animal processing, citing food safety, animal welfare, and food waste concerns. Company says cattle scheduled for Fort Morgan now redirected to other Cargill facilities in Kansas, Nebraska, and Texas. But the dispute comes as Cargill has invested in automation, employee housing, and yield technology at that location. Both sides say negotiations will continue. Rural housing programs could see major changes after the House passed a bipartisan housing package that includes reforms to USDA's Rural Housing Service. The provisions aimed at preserving affordable housing, speeding up applications, and helping small communities keep families, seniors, and workers housed. Rural Housing Service Reform Act would create a permanent program to preserve USDA-financed affordable rental housing. Supporters say that matters as aging rural properties leave affordability protections when USDA-backed mortgages mature, but also modernize USDA technology and staffing. It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
It's that time of year when the forage is growing rapidly, it's lush and green, and quality is as high as it's going to be all year.
Dr. Dave Lallman, professor and extension beef cattle specialist at Oklahoma State University.
In an extensive survey of forages several years ago, we found that the primary minerals to be concerned about for beef cattle in Oklahoma tend to be phosphorus, sometimes zinc, and a high percentage of the time, copper. And so certainly we'd encourage people to take a look at those concentrations in their forages. We analyzed three different forages, very different in quality, just a few weeks ago. We looked at fresh or lush wheat pasture, native range there kind of towards the end of March, or tall grass prairie, if you want to think of it that way, and then also some really nice high-quality Bermuda grass hay. And what we saw in those samples was that the phosphorus content was adequate, as you'd expect, in the wheat pasture forage, and it was also adequate in the nice quality Bermuda grass hay. And that's very consistent with what we normally see. Although the phosphorus content of the late season tall grass prairie was very low. So certainly later in the growing season, when the concentration of phosphorus declines in tall grass prairie forage, like switchgrass or Indian grass, big blue stem, little blue stem, those concentration of phosphorus is going to decline substantially. And that's what we saw in this little demonstration. 0.1, and the cow's requirement is about 0.2. So it's only providing about half of what that cow, a lactating cow, requires. And so, you know, anytime when the forage quality and that native grass in particular is getting lower due to either drought or the time of the year, that would be the time when you'd want to be supplying a mineral supplement fortified with phosphorus, such as, you know, something 8, maybe up to 12% phosphorus. Also, we looked at the zinc and the copper concentration of that wheat, the Bermuda grass, and that native range forage. And as you would expect, the wheat pasture was really pretty high in zinc concentration. Surprisingly, it was below the animal's requirements in copper. Just about 6 parts per million. A beef cow requires about 10 parts per million. On the other hand, the zinc concentration was adequate in the wheat pasture. It was adequate in the Bermuda grass. And surprisingly, it was adequate in the native range forage as well. But the copper concentration in that native range was very low, at only 3 parts per million. And again, the cow's requirement is about 10 parts per million. So the results from those samples were much what we had expect based on previous surveys of common forages in Oklahoma. You know, it's very common for phosphorus to be deficient in any type of tall grass prairie forage, especially later in the grazing season and during winter. It's also very common for copper and occasionally for zinc to be deficient in forages that are common throughout the state of Oklahoma. And so, you know, therefore you'd want to be looking for mineral supplement products that would be fortified and meet those requirements.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is Agriculture Today.
Yeah, this is a tool that is becoming more and more popular with producers across the country, and it's largely why we've been on a mission to educate folks a little bit more about the tool and what it does.
Eric Glenn is CEO of the Colorado Cattlemen's Ag Land Trust.
Conservation easement is essentially a contract that's intended to last in perpetuity between a landowner and a eligible entity, which could be a land trust like CCLT, or it could be an entity of government, or it could be an Indian tribe. Those are the three eligible entities listed under the law that can hold a conservation easement. And the easement itself is a set of deed restrictions on the land that can be designed to be as flexible or inflexible as the landowner and the entity that's going to hold that easement want it to be. Now, in an agricultural context, our focus is on keeping land open and in its condition to grow food and fiber. And so we're really trying to balance with that landowner what they need in terms of infrastructure for running that operation successfully with the requirements under law that allow them to get tax incentives and in some cases other financial incentives from various funders that are interested in conservation and ensuring that we have working farms and ranches. So essentially, if you're working with my organization, we care about a couple of things. We care about where you're going to build houses and other major ag infrastructure. We don't care about where you're going to put corrals or stock tanks or fences. Those things you can put as an operator where you need to put them. We're going to care about keeping that land, that unit, as a single unit as much as possible, to ensure that we can have the scale of land we need to produce food and fiber going forward. And we're going to care about the water because it's hard to do production agriculture without water. Those are the main things we're going to care about. And what we found is that, our conservation works very aligned with the goals and objectives of most producers and most families out there. We can build an easement that will work for their operation, not just today, but into the future.
What's allowed and not allowed?
Really dependent on what the landowner is looking to achieve and then what that entity that they're partnering with seeks to do. And again, in an agricultural context, if you're working with my organization, our real objective is to ensure that these working farms and ranches stay working. So designing that easement is going to be very focused on what does that producer need today and into the future to be able to do that. Now, there's been some misinformation that we've seen out in the media and in other contexts that say if you do a conservation easement and you grow, let's say you grow alfalfa today, you have to grow alfalfa forever. Per the terms of that easement. That's just not true. You could design an easement that way. I think that would be malpractice. But if you're designing an ag easement, what you're doing is using it as a durability tool. And that means let's keep the land available to do what God intended that land to do, which is to grow food and fiber, provide habitat for wildlife, and provide these other natural resources that are important to the quality of life for all of us.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Short-term actions, waiving the Jones Act for 60 days and extending it for another 90 days thanks to our president.
Addressing the issue of fertilizer, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins.
There has been utilization of that waiver. In fact, our low-end estimates have seen a little more than 65,000 metric tons of ammonia through port movement that would not have happened without that lift. That has been from Louisiana to Florida and Texas to Louisiana. With the added certainty of 90 more days under that Jones Act waiver, we expect to see many more movements. And, of course, we'll continue to work to keep you all updated. Of course, we waived import restrictions from Venezuela. We will likely have more announcements in the next few days on other restrictions that will be lifted. But we have seen more fertilizer come in from Venezuela with more big announcements coming in the next couple of days. Today, I have three quick announcements. Number one, the Blue Point Project in Louisiana. I think I have a poster up for that within 45 days. And thanks to the quick movements of General Butch Graham with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, with Adam Tell, who's here today with us to talk a little bit about it, we should see permitting wrapped up on this project to build a $3.7 billion ammonia plant, which when opened will become the world's largest ammonia plant in Louisiana. That permitting, they moved at Trump speed is what we like to say. Adam will talk a little bit more about that, but so grateful to be able to announce that today. Under another administration, it probably would have not happened, or if it would have, it would have taken years and years to get to permitting. We're so excited about not only the fertilizer implications of that, but the hundreds and hundreds of jobs that will come along with it for the great state of Louisiana. And of course, our administrator Zeldin will be part of that as well. Number two, I want to talk a little bit about the Biden administration program, the Fertilizer Expansion or FPEP projects. FPEP was originally conceived with a very good thought in mind, and that is we have to reshore, onshore our fertilizer production here in America. But what we found when we inherited, began to dig into the program, was that, of course, it focused on climate instead of fertilizer impact. Of the 121 projects that were identified in the last administration, only 8 were moved to completion. There were 90 of the projects that were actually lacking agreements. 7 were marked unsatisfactory, totaling $70 million. And in most instances, there was 0 contact information recorded for the awardees. We have now changed that. We are in touch with every single one of them. We have run it down. We are talking to them. Those projects now that were stalled because of climate requirements are now coming back online. So you can hear a little bit more about that, too, in the coming weeks. We'll be assisting the higher impact awardees with project completion, putting them on Trump speed. For example, an $80 million investment in Washington State under this program that, again, was stalled, was projected to produce 700,000 tons annually of hydrogen ammonia fertilizer that will support over 200 jobs. We expect construction to begin this year. Another example, because these FPEP projects were all over from small to big, but the small ones are important, too, as we talk about deconsolidating and deregulating and having smaller alongside larger. A $3.89 million project in Iowa will host a ribbon cutting this summer, specifically to work to expand domestic organic fertilizer production capacity through large-scale composting and nutrient processing. Taken together, we expect these projects that we touched on today at the highest level to unlock over 2 million tons of new annual fertilizer capacity, serving 61,000 producers and adding an additional 30 million acres that will be covered by American-produced fertilizer. That will create over 500 jobs and reduce reliance on foreign investments.
It's Agriculture Today.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Designing that easement, if we keep that land intact, it can continue to produce for all of us.
Eric Glenn, CEO, Colorado Cattlemen's Ag Land Trust.
We can design that easement with that context of durability in a way that allows a landowner to change its crop. If they're growing crops, they can change their crop. If they're raising livestock, they can change their grazing patterns. They can change the livestock that they're grazing. They can move stock tanks where they need to. They can move fences and corrals where they need to. What we're really just focused on is let's identify where we're going to put that major infrastructure in areas where it makes operational sense, and then keep the rest of it open to be available to produce food and fiber.
Can it be used in succession planning?
And that's becoming a bigger issue for each of these ag land trust organizations that make up the partnership of Rangeland Trust. The generational transition succession planning elements are becoming a significant amount of work and attention and focus for each of us. The easement is a tool that can be deployed by families to assist with that. And originally, back in the mid-90s, when this idea sort of took off within the ag space, it was primarily focused on that, because what an easement does by nature is reduces the value of the property. So landowners were using the tool to reduce their estate tax liabilities back when the exemptions were much lower than they are today. Today, what we see landowners doing is using the tool as a sort of a combination of estate tax planning prep, but also easements can provide capital to these operations that then can be used to set up operating endowments for these operations, so that the next generation doesn't have to worry about where money is going to come from to pay property taxes or annual operating expenses. That you can use an easement to set up a series of financial tools to help advance some of those objectives in helping that next generation get a leg up. If you don't have that next generation coming onto the ranch, we're seeing landowners use easements as a tool to help ensure that maybe their neighbors have a better chance to get a opportunity to buy that. Not an out-of-state wealthy landowner, and nothing against out-of-state wealthy landowners, but our goals and objectives try to keep this kind of scale of agriculture in these rural communities intact. Best way to do that is keep longstanding families on these places, and we see landowners using and in partnership with our organizations using these tools to do just that. And that's the fun. For me, that's kind of the fun part of the work is if we can help a family stay in that community, and then the next generation comes back and stays in that community as well. All the downstream benefits we're seeing of schools reopening, new businesses coming in, opportunities like that are really fun to see how conservation can help move the needle in that respect as well.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Agriculture Today.
Right, so DEF, diesel exhaust fluid. Administrator Zeldin actually visited all 50 states during his first 9 months as EPA administrator. And across the country, he heard from farmers everywhere about DEF system failures or diesel exhaust fluid system failures.
Cora Mandy is a senior official with the Environmental Protection Agency.
Essentially, what a DEF system failure does is cause sudden speed losses and shutdowns, and that not only compromises the safety and productivity of these vehicles for farmers and for truck drivers, but it can really create a cost impact and an impact come harvest season for farmers. So the Trump EPA has been all over fixing the DEF issue. In February, we issued guidance restoring Americans' right to repair their non-road diesel equipment, and this guidance basically stopped manufacturers from using the Clean Air Act to limit access to tools and softwares or to repair tools and software so that Americans can do it themselves. And this has made repairs, this will make repairs cheaper for Americans. And it will also ensure that farmers can opt for the latest options on the market when it comes to diesel equipment, because they now have the ability to repair systems themselves instead of relying on manufacturers who have rights to the software to do it.
Which makes this conversation even more interesting. Ben Cleavy is a senior research analyst with StoneX.
On the autonomous side, you know, we talked about some kind of aftermarket kind of bolt-on technologies that can make existing machinery more autonomous. Mm-hmm. Those are absolutely continuing. Farmers are much more willing to buy a small, piece of technology that they can bolt onto their existing machine to make it more efficient. There's no doubt that that's continuing. On the major row crop producer side, electric vehicles aren't really efficient enough yet to be a major disruptor. So for for most row crop farmers, electric vehicles aren't really an option just yet. Now for the specialty crop side, so your fruits and vegetables, those farmers do have better access to electric vehicles. Unfortunately, there was a pretty significant bankruptcy of one of the leading kind of startup OEMs in this space a couple months ago. Not related to the current geopolitical climate, but the unfortunately those solutions that are both electric and autonomous in nature, the autonomy side has been difficult to really master. So these emerging technologies are certainly coming up. And I think especially solutions that enable kind of swarms of smaller vehicles to be autonomous. Mm. This is really something that has still quite a bit of disruptive potential. The large OEMs are still certainly leaning into this, but that hasn't scaled enough yet to where I think you can call that disruptive just yet.
But how are rising costs and uncertainty affecting the industry?
So it certainly is a risk. It's a much more of a risk to the farmer's bottom line than it is overall production levels for now. But we'll see how long how long this input cost environment continues. Because it certainly is raising the risk of global food security, into next year. Mm-hmm. Right now, more of the risk is to food security and total levels of production are Mother Nature related. So, if you've got drought conditions in Brazil affecting their corn crop, drought conditions in the U.S. affecting the wheat crop, but those prices are going up, that's an issue, but that's not really related to the conflict. Mm-hmm. Certainly the longer this goes on, there's more risk embedded within the food chain. Looking into 27 in general, via machinery or all these inputs combined.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.